Today's episode is brought to you by Kind Bar. Kind is deeply committed to crafting food with real, recognizable ingredients, a disruptive notion that sparked the creation of a new healthy snacking category. Kind is unapologetic in their efforts to challenge the status quo, to shift the food industry, and empower their community and our listeners to make better informed choices about health. Kindness can be a transformative force for good, and that is why we are teaming up with Kind and Podgo to bring our listeners 10% off or 15% off for military, teachers, students, first responders, doctors, and nurses. Go to podgo.co/kind. That's podgo.co/kind. Kind Bar, creating a kinder and healthier world, one act, one snack at a time.
This is the Outlap F1 Podcast, featuring America's own John, James, Andy, and Deanna. Your one-stop shop for Formula One news, insights, race previews, and reviews. Join us on the Outlap! Welcome to Season 3, Episode 3 of the Outlap F1 Podcast. It's Andy. I'm along with James and Deanna. Unfortunately, we are not quite podcast at full strength. John looks like he's got a little bit of an illness right now, but we hope he gets better soon and is back with us as soon as he can be. Guys and Deanna, how are we doing?
I'm all good, man. Besides the ridiculous amount of snow we continue to get pounded with in the Midwest, life is pretty good.
Yep, doing all right here. We're having thunderstorms, and I avoided the tornadoes.
That's a positive.
The last couple days, so yeah, we're doing good.
Yeah, I mean, the middle part of the United States for everybody out there is in a bit of a deep freeze. I've seen shots of Circuit of the Americas actually being buried in snow. Buddies I've got down in Austin are all freaking out because they don't know what to do. Nobody knows how to drive. So everybody just be safe. It was probably, I mean, we had over a foot of snow here. So hopefully I can finally venture back out for the first time since Sunday. Yeah, it's just been lots of fun weather, but we're getting ready to talk about some F1, so hopefully that'll heat everybody up. Just as a reminder, you can find our show on Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, and now on Discord. You can find our link tree at Outlap F1 Podcast. That'll take you to everywhere that we are. You can always email our show at chatnow@outlapf1.com. You can also visit us on our beautiful website at www.outlapf1.com, where you can find out all about us. We've got Deanna's profile uploaded. We've got our Support the Pod page, where if you want to donate $1, $5, 50 cents, we would be super appreciative of that. A reminder about Deanna's project Relapped, and we're into the middle of, or are we nearing the end of the 1980 season? I thought I saw...
We just passed halfway.
Oh, okay. So I saw... I think the British Grand Prix was the latest one.
Yes. Yeah. That was yesterday. And then if I actually decide to edit, the German Grand Prix will be out tomorrow.
Great.
Has Ferrari started their epic comeback in the 1980 season yet?
No. They just keep getting worse. So,
damn it.
I just see retirement. I mean, I don't know what they did wrong, but...
They do score again. 1 point in the British Grand Prix. Hey. So you can go watch that video and enjoy that one.
All right. I'm all over it.
Yeah. So go ahead and check that out. If you get a chance, it's definitely worth the watch. I've enjoyed them very much so. Also, a reminder, we are still being sponsored by the good folks at Manscaped. And as a reminder of that, please do take advantage of our code OUTLAP and get the 20% off and free shipping for all of their good stuff there. It's code OUTLAP, OUTLAP. We are proud to bring that to you. So I went away for a week, and all sorts of news seemed to blow up on us while we were gone, while I was gone. And I'm still trying to learn where all the buttons and everything is. You almost forget how to do this. You know, you're gone long enough. But it's good to get back into the groove. Our first news story tonight is the MCL35M, McLaren's reuniting with Mercedes engine. That car launched on Monday. And my first thought was, my gosh, can we not do this in the middle of my workday? I think I had probably the most distracted work call going on while I was in the middle of trying to watch this. I had it end in like on one earbud, and it was a crap show. I ended up having to watch it later, but main takeaways from it was that the livery was largely unchanged. All of the changes are internal. The chassis parts that were changed were allowed to the extent that they could, so they could house the new power unit in there. It was interesting. I saw, and a couple different videos pointed this out. They were very cautious to avoid showing the rear of the car. So I think they're waiting until testing to do that. So whatever bits they've got going on with the diffuser, they were not willing to show in their launch spec. The car itself was actually not present at the reveal. The team had shipped it off to Silverstone. They had a filming day today. Both drivers completed their 100-kilometer mileage today. There were no obvious issues, at least that I could see on social media. But, you know, the team controls all that. So even if there was, you wouldn't necessarily know about it. But it was Daniel Ricciardo's first ride in a McLaren-branded car. He seemed to get out and he seemed to look very excited. So as a McLaren fan, it looks like this new partnership with Mercedes is getting off to a good start. I'm super excited to see what they can do, but I'm also being a little bit cautious because it is the first year with a new engine make. So what are our thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have the actual F1 car there for the launch, but the two McLarens that they drove up in, the all black ones, were badass. Big fan of those.
The GTs, right?
I was going to ask if either one of you knew exactly what they were, because I wasn't sure, but they were awesome.
Yeah, those were awesome looking cars. I didn't get the models on it, but I think, Deanna, you could be right about that.
So, yeah, that's a big part of supporting the show so that we could all be driving in one of those. It'd be really cool. So tell a friend and donate. But, yeah, I thought it was a really good moment for McLaren to have Danny Ric come out. I mean, he's just an awesome guy all the way around. So it was pretty cool for his family to send a message. I think it was his little nephew. I forget the name. And his parents sent him that message. So that seemed to make him pretty happy. So that was a cool moment. The music thing was kind of weird. Not really sure what I thought about that. It wasn't like Ferrari level weird with dancing and things, but it was up there. What do you think about that, Deanna?
The greatest thing to come out of it was somebody overlaid the song onto Ferrari's like dance launch from last year. And that's the greatest outcome of the whole situation. The whole
I don't know how I haven't seen that yet.
I'll send it to you. It's spectacular.
No, it's pretty
the
good.
The whole thing is it was a lot. Again, I was also watching it during work and just having this weird like singing thing going on in the background was just it was unnecessary, I think, at the end of the day. You can kind of tell at least Lando is somewhat uncomfortable, but the livery itself is pretty much the same. Nothing wrong with that in my book, but yeah, it's orange. It's great. It actually adds a color to the grid, which is getting more and more dull by the season. So that's a good one. And then also I wanted to point out on the filming, they had their filming day today. They had a picture of the car, but you could, I think it was like overexposed it, you could see that they had black drawings over the barge boards. So more trying to cover up what they're doing on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And just as a note of caution to everybody out there, I don't think we're going to see huge dramatic differences in the cars and or generally the liveries this year. So, I mean, they're all going to have them. They're going to have their launches. But people waiting to expect to see huge differences. I mean, the only thing that I could see, and there was really only one view that showed it, was the difference in the floor. This is the first car that's out there with the reduction in the floor to try to take that 10% off. But that's you got to really be looking for that type of stuff. So it's basically kind of all covers on until Bahrain and maybe even after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that floor difference is obviously going to be, you know, a difference on all of them. And that'll be the first thing you pick out. But for casual fans, they should be pretty much the same. We're going to see some big differences next year. Like Deanna said, yeah, that delivery was pretty much the same, but I'm cool with that too. I really like their papaya in blue. And yeah, I mean, the only livery that's going to be different is Aston, should be Alpine. Completely different, but
oh, and Alpine.
Well, yeah, Alpine too. So I guess there's two. So Andy, you were really wrong. I was just trying to make you feel better, but Deanna's going for the jugular there.
Always.
But I mean, I know you guys aren't going to mention it because it's you two and John wouldn't either, but Ferrari also had a little fire up session that released. And I was pretty excited about that one.
Well, I guess that's one of their three-part launch then.
Yeah, I guess they're having a driver launch on, I think, what is it, the 26th? And then
yeah, what even
it's
is
a, it's a slow launch. Burn. Enjoy it.
Oh god.
Well, the power unit sounded good, and that made me happy. And you know, the McLaren was cool too.
Well, it's good that the Ferrari powered up, because poor Haas is apparently having to wait until like the day before they're testing to actually get their engine because of like COVID restrictions and where everybody is. So, but that's good. You know, I mean, if they can make a step forward, Ferrari, I mean, you know, we all love to give them shade on this program every now and again. But if they can make a step forward and kind of get back into the fight, that's good for them. And it's good for those other customer teams of theirs that were struggling really, really bad last year. So see where that has to go.
More competition's always better. Yep. As much as they annoy me.
Very true. And so we finally have our driver lineup all signed, sealed, and delivered. Lewis Hamilton has signed his long-awaited contract. Deanna, tell us about it.
Yeah, so Hamilton said he's excited to be heading into his ninth season with his Mercedes teammates. The team has achieved incredible things together, and we look forward to building on our success even further while continuously looking to improve both on and off the track. So Mercedes confirmed in the announcement that a significant part of his new contract would be including a greater commitment to diversity and inclusion in motorsport that is taking form in a joint charitable foundation promoting diversity in the sport. So this deal, it's a one-year deal. There's no teammate veto, no ownership stake, revenue share, anything like that. I think the one-year bit is the most important takeaway here. Toto Wolff did come out and say that it was just because of logistical reasons, because they were going to start talks in between the two Bahrain races. Lewis got COVID, then it was Christmas, and then they're trying to do all of this stuff over video. So logistically, it's easier to just get 21 out of the way and then push off 22. At least that's what he says. What mm-hmm. do you guys think about the one-year contract?
So I actually think that it's a one-year deal. That kind of is the veto, because it's like, well, he already knew Bottas was going to be the teammate for the 2021 season, and now after 2021 – he'll get an idea of who they're going to go to with 2022. And if he doesn't like it, he can be like, don't forget you guys only signed a one-year deal. So I could leave if I want, type of thing. I could kind of see him playing that angle a little bit. But at the end of the day, I'd really hope he'd come back, even if it is George Russell, because that would be exciting. What about you, Andy?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely perplexed by the fact that it's only a one-year deal. I mean, obviously, I don't think it's a matter of money. And I would have thought that with all the conversation about potential for driver salaries to be coming in under the cost cap, that he would want to try to cash out as much as he could and lock in as many years as he could for as ever long that he wants to keep driving. And that's kind of the interesting part of this. I don't know what his thoughts on these 2022 regs are necessarily. You know, I suspect he's a little nervous that he won't be in the most dominant position that he's, you know, had for the last, you know, number of years. So, it's just interesting to me that he didn't want to go for a multi-year deal. I think the teammate thing is a part of it. That was the one time where he kind of got conquered, was when his teammate got inside his head a little bit. But, you know, I mean, he can write whatever deal he wants. I mean, he's got all the bargaining power that he has. But, you know, the longer that went, it just seemed to take on a life of its own. I mean, there were some really weird conspiracy theories out there as to why this thing wasn't done. But it's nice to see that it is done. We'll have these conversations again this time next year if there's not a deal on the table for him. That's for sure.
Yep. Yeah. I think the 1 year. He now has the opportunity to assess the situation, at least of the team going into Mercedes. I think, honestly, though, because of this charity, it's a long term project between the two parties. I can't see him deciding to pick up and go somewhere else after this. I think it's kind of Mercedes or bust, but this at least gives him the opportunity to assess the situation going into 22.
Yep. Very good. So our next story, was one that kind of broke on Friday, and it broke, pretty, pretty quickly. Fernando Alonso, had a run in with a car. James, why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, pretty scary stuff. I think, you're right. It was on Friday. So Fernando Alonso was involved in a crash with a vehicle while cycling. I want to say, was it in Austria? Does that sound right?
I think so. I thought it was Austria or Switzerland.
I was thinking the same too, and I was like, what's the difference? I'm pretty sure it's Austria, though. But he did actually spend 2 nights in the hospital. He's been discharged since. Alpine released the following statement. After a period of 48 hours observation at a hospital in Switzerland, Fernando Alonso has now been discharged to continue his recovery at home. He will now have a short period of complete rest before progressively resuming training to undertake preparation for the start of the season. As always, thank you for your best wishes for Fernando's recovery. So yeah, he had surgery to fix a broken jaw, but it is not believed he will miss testing or have any adverse preparation. So he got really, really lucky with that. I mean, we've seen plenty of bicycle crashes in our day. I mean, pretty much anytime you see like any kind of like a clip video of bad accidents in sports, like there's some really bad cycling ones. Could have been really, really scary situation pretty quickly. Good thing it's only a jaw. And it'll be interesting to see if it really does affect his training to go back in. I'm sure everything on his body, he should be able to do just fine. But like drivers do a lot of work on their necks and things. So I wonder if that'll prevent any of that. But you know, that Friday morning when that news first broke, it was really scary for a little bit. And then I think Alpine, I think you had actually tweeted about it, Andy, they did a really good job of getting out in front of it and letting people know, you know, what they knew and could say, and kind of stayed out in front of the situation the whole time and did a really nice job of keeping fans and the media updated on what was actually going on. So there wasn't too much of a chance of like these crazy theories or people guessing of what actually happened or how serious his condition might be. So I definitely commend Alpine for doing that. But yeah, I mean, we got pretty lucky. We could have lost a legend there, or, you know, even, I'm sure the only person that was excited about this was Nico Hülkenberg. Cause his ears probably perked right up and was like, ooh, I might get a few races.
Well, and the first name that I thought of as soon as I heard cycling accident was Nick, you know, when we lost Nicky Hayden, you know, from MotoGP, because, you know, it was the same exact type of thing. He was training in the mountains and, you know, car comes out of nowhere and, you know, unfortunately he did not survive that. But yeah, like I said, you know, real, real kudos to Alpine for being on top of it. You know, when, especially because it's Fernando, he has such a following across the world, really. You know, any sort of story can get blown out of proportion really quickly. You know, he is Spanish. We have talked on this show about the air quote Spanish sources and what they love to do. So, I mean, just being in front of it and saying, you know, this is what we know. This is where he is, what we know. And then we'll give you more when we can, as quickly as they did it. You know, compare that with the reaction of some other teams that we've seen recently. It's 180 degrees difference, and it didn't allow that story to go anywhere. So kudos to them. That's how you handle a crisis situation as far as social media goes. But yeah, I'm just glad that, you know, no serious, super bad injuries. You know, broken jaw is not fun, but it is something that's recoverable. You're right, James. He may lose some neck strengthening exercise in the next couple of weeks, but hopefully that's something that he can build up. If he's as excited to want to be in the car as he sounds, I can't imagine that he's going to be away for any prolonged length of time. Deanna, any thoughts?
Oh, nothing to add. I think you guys covered it all.
Alrighty then. Well, and of course, Outlap wishes Fernando a speedy recovery.
Definitely.
Our next item is our 2021 calendar, such that it is. It's already had some revisions to it. It looks to be complete, at least for the time being. The TBC space on the calendar is no longer TBC, and we've had some speculation on this, but the winner ultimately is Portimão. So F1 will return to the Portuguese Grand Prix and the circuit. On May the 2nd, it is hopeful that there will be fans in attendance. It's Deanna, I know you've talked about this track being one of the favorites of the new ones. I totally agree. I'm super excited to have this back on there. And it's a good spot in the calendar, I think, to hopefully establish it permanently. Don't you think?
Yeah, I 100% agree. I just love the elevation changes at that track. Even just sitting and watching practice, it's always entertaining. Let alone the race itself. So I'm super excited to see that one go back there. I hope it gets a long-term spot outside of 2021 when we get the new cars. Would be my ideal personally, but I'll take what I can get.
James, excited to see the rolling hills in Portugal?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a pretty good race this last time. Definitely pretty sweet visuals, like Deanna was saying, with the elevation changes for sure. And you know what? I think this next season, I expect Sainz to get out in the lead early on and maybe hold it a little bit longer with the Ferrari. And, you know, Charles Leclerc can improve on his fourth place from 2020.
Oh.
I forgot he was in a Ferrari. I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And then now it doesn't. So good
Yes.
luck with that pipe dream.
A double podium for Ferrari and Portimão, you heard
Okay.
here first.
We shall
Eternal
see, sir.
optimism.
We shall see. Well, that kind of takes us through our first segment tonight. We are going to take a quick break, pay a couple of bills, and come back, and we'll talk about some more news, as it's been a really newsy weekend in the F1 world, and we'll be right back.
Hey fellas, we are in the thick of winter and a storm's a brewing. It looks like 1 to 3 inches are in the forecast when you trim that hibernation bush that's taking place in your pants. Luckily, our partners at Manscaped specialize in products to make sure you're walking around town with beautiful snowballs. Manscaped is here to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience, offering precision engineered tools for your family jewels. The Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer is the best hygiene tool for the modern man. Because of the ceramic blade and advanced skin-safe technology, your snags on your snowballs will be reduced. The trimmer is also waterproof, so you can trim the shower or jacuzzi if you're a savage. Manscaped's Performance Package is the best buy of 2021. The Performance Package comes with a new and improved Lawnmower 3.0, the Weed Whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag. Have you ever noticed how nasty nose and ear hair is? In fact, 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turnoff. Might as well use the best tools to do the job. This bundle also comes with Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner. The Crop Preserver is anti-chafing ball deodorant that will make your balls smell nice and make you feel like your testes are walking in a winter wonderland. The Crop Reviver is a spray-on toner for your balls. It's made with soothing aloe and witch hazel extracts that will make your balls look at you and say, thanks. Don't get cold feet this winter. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code OUTLAP, OUTLAP, all one word, at manscaped.com. They also have a ton of other amazing men's hygiene products on their website, from disposable mats for your pubes to foot deodorant. Once again, that's code OUTLAP, OUTLAP, to get yourself 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Thanks, Manscaped, for making our winter wieners look so good.
Welcome back to season 3, episode 3 of the Outlap F1 podcast. It's Andy. I'm along with Deanna and James, and we are discussing what has been a very newsy time in the world of Formula One. Just a reminder, you can find our show, Twitter, Instagram, and Reddit, and Discord at Outlap F1 Podcast. Please do check us out. We would love to interact with you. Our next story in our rundown tonight is, and this is a pretty big one actually, the long anticipated engine freeze that we've talked about on a couple different episodes actually, that has been now agreed to. So post 2022, they are keeping the same engines. What do we think about this, guys?
Yeah, so I think ultimately this is a positive. There was another article that came out saying, and Horner was talking about it, that it's not technically in the regulations, but there is an agreement between all the manufacturers that if there is a discrepancy, a large discrepancy between the power units, that they'll all kind of sit down at the table and discuss a solution to get them all within a particular range. What that range is, not 100% sure, but that is an option should say Ferrari be very far behind. So we'll see on that one. I think ultimately, and we'll talk more about Red Bull in a second, but this gives the teams, hopefully, like all that development gets to go to other places of the car, and then they can start turning their focus to the 2025 regulations. We've had these power units for a long time. They're probably kind of reaching towards the end of their development curve. So I don't think it's, I think it's a positive thing.
James, any initial thoughts?
Yeah, I did pretty much have to agree with that. I think it should lead to better competition on the grid for sure. And I'm not just saying that because Ferrari had a very much down year in power unit. But I want them to focus on the 2022, like 100%. And I think not having to worry about the engine on top of that should make us like really, really good in that regard. And because I just want all teams to come out ready to go with the 2022 regulations and to have some nice parity on the grid. I know that's probably a pipe dream, but this, I don't see how this could hurt it. So I think it can only help it.
And it looks like they finally have kind of addressed, you know, kind of what I've always said is the elephant in the room with these engines is that they don't sound very good. They are putting together a 2025 commission to try to get to the bottom of this. And how do we make a hybrid car sound, you know, what they've called, what is it? Creating a powerful and emotive power unit. And I thought that was interesting when they said, you know, they outlined all these different objectives for what they want this power unit to be. They want it to be environmentally sustainable and socially relevant, which is good. They want the fuel to be fully sustainable. That makes sense because, you know, we're all are going green. They want to fix the sound, which is good. They want these things not to cost as much. That's also good. And they want to be attractive to other power unit manufacturers, which I think is also, you know, super important. So it's a huge agreement that you got all the engine manufacturers to agree to it. I think you're right. I think that if they can all make their last steps, they can stop throwing stupid money at these power units. I've been no fan of them since they've come in. So at least now we see kind of a light at the end of the tunnel for them. So I'm for one, I'm happy to see it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think so another story was that this engine freeze is basically going to allow Red Bull to run the Honda engine technology until 2025. And the four-time world champions have now formed a new company, Red Bull Powertrains Limited, to run that project with the new division operated from Red Bull's base in Milton Keynes. So that's pretty cool. So it's going to be RBP powering the Red Bull and the AlphaTauri. So that's good to see. I'm glad, you know, Red Bull's not either going to have to go back to the Renault engine or I really don't know what else they do because I don't see Mercedes supplying somebody else and I don't really see them going to with Ferrari power units. So I'm glad to see that we'll have a different engine supplier on the grid or at least remaining the Honda one. But that was definitely good news in my eyes for sure.
Yeah, and I think for the Red Bull, on the Red Bull side, won't have too much of an impact, especially with engine freeze over the next few years. But when we get to the 2025 engine regs, like that gives Red Bull the opportunity to tailor that engine to their car and have all of that development in-house, which should be a big like positive for them. And then they don't have to go complain about another engine manufacturer. So should be good.
Yeah, I think that it's the natural conclusion to what was the Honda surprise when they said that they were going to, you know, no longer be an F1 after this season. You know, I hope it means that a lot of the people who might, you know, lose their jobs at Honda end up working for them, you know, just to keep some continuity. And, you know, this way those people can, you know, continue to have jobs. You know, it'd be interesting to see if now that Red Bull's finally taken the step to say, okay, well, we're going to keep this right on, do they then, when these regulations change and now they have a seat at that table and can affect those regulations, do they then decide, oh, well, now we want to start building our own and then maybe, you know, this Red Bull Powertrains Limited stays around a little bit longer than 3 years. So I think it's a good thing. I'm glad to see that Red Bull isn't going anywhere else. They were never going to go back to Renault. That relationship is absolutely gone. And it prevents just a lot of awkwardness and thoughts about their future. And we don't need any other teams, you know, opting out for whatever reason. So this shuts the door on that and allows us to move forward. So I think it's a really good thing.
Same.
So our last story tonight is all about sprint races. And this was something that we weren't necessarily sure we were going to get, but it looks like teams have given, quote, broad support from Liberty Media and F1 for new sprint race format at some specific races. Now, I do want to say before we dig into this, this is still in the proposal phase, but here's kind of what we know. Nothing has been finalized yet, but it does look like they're going to try to put something through by the beginning of the season. So we want to get this out as soon as we could. It looks like it would be trialed at Canada, Brazil, and Italy. Qualifying as we know it on these particular weekends, and it's just for these weekends. This is not going to be for the entire season. It would shift from Saturday to Friday. Effectively, it would replace FP2. Saturday would then have a free practice session in the morning and a 100-kilometer sprint race that would set then the field for Sunday. The Sunday schedule is as is would currently be unaffected, but the current proposal has points being awarded for the sprint race, so we'll have to see if that's going to get passed or not. I'm kind of leery about awarding points for a qualifying session, but who knows? You know, the other series have done it. So, what are our initial thoughts on this? This is an interesting topic.
Go ahead, Ian.
All right. Do you want me to go ahead and dive into this whole?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So I went down the rabbit hole today. so essentially, this would, if let's just assume sprint race, it happens and we do it across the season. And what they're proposing is essentially an extra third distance added on to the front of the race. So you would do that first, you'd have qualifying on Friday, then that first third of the race, on Saturday, and then you'd have the full race distance on Sunday. So I went back and looked at if we did that for 2020, if we took the first third of the race for every single race, took those half points for each of those quote unquote sprint races, and then added them to the actual championship points, what effect would that have? And let's say if this is successful in three races, and then we did have this for every single race in future seasons, what impact might that have? And it is somewhat minimal. So from the top three teams, or top two teams, Mercedes and Red Bull, not much of an impact. It actually does bring Mercedes score less, slightly less, about 2% of the total percentage of all points available. So I guess there is that. But a couple interesting things that it does do. So McLaren and Racing Point switch places in the standings. And that is largely because Stroll gets 5 sprint race podiums. And I think that's largely attributed to his inability to hold tires for like an entirety of a race. So, and he gets the like quote unquote win in Turkey. And so he has a halfway decent season and that brings him up to third in the championship. But where I think F1 wants this to have an impact and where it will probably have more of an impact is towards the back of the grid. So one thing you see is Haas took that gamble in Hungary with the wet weather tires, going on intermediates early, pitting, even though they got a penalty for it. But that still, they ended 5th and 6th. And that point score was enough to get them ahead of Alfa Romeo in the standings. And then you have teams like Williams. Albeit the system, it isn't perfect because Latifi, he gets a rogue 7th place at Imola, and that's definitely just because of pit stop timings. But Russell, he does get like a 10th at Mugello, and I think that's pretty legitimate. So maybe you see Williams picking up a couple points. They do in this system. And it's starting to at least give, even though it's a very small share, there are some that go to the kind of bottom of the pack, which I think is kind of the ultimate aim. And largely, this isn't going to have an impact, but we do have those rogue races where it could. And I think that's the whole implication or hope of it. But other than that, it won't have a large impact on the championship, which I think is why all the teams have agreed, at least in principle, to it. So, guys, any thoughts?
Well, that was quite the rabbit hole.
I was procrastinating editing my own videos, so this is what we got today.
Yeah, very good. I can definitely understand the procrastinating piece, although you probably put way more effort into this than I ever would because that's just my personality. But no, it's pretty interesting to hear it that way. And, you know, it's just people in general are just so adverse to change, and it's just so disheartening sometimes, because like one small thing, or I guess I shouldn't say small, but one thing is going to change and everybody's instantly against it for the most part. And it's just like, just calm down. Let's just see how it works. They're talking about three races out of, hopefully we get, you know, 21 races this year. It's so a seventh of the races, like, come on. It's not going to change whether Lewis Hamilton wins. Maybe he'll only win by 200 points instead of, a, you know, 250 points or something stupid. Like, let's just try it and see what happens. Like, now I could understand people getting upset if they're like, you know what, start next year, we're going to do sprint races every single race all year long. Like, oh, it's like, yeah, that would be kind of like, whoa, like, this is crazy. But it's like, just a trial. Let's give it a fair shake, see how it goes. I think it's going to be pretty exciting to see a sprint race. It could give a chance for some crazy happenings, some crazy finishes. Maybe some guys that normally wouldn't get points can get points by having just a really good start, something like that. So I'm all for it. I've never been, you know, scared of change, and let's see what can happen. The only thing that kind of threw me for a loop at first was like, oh, dang, qualifying is going to be on Fridays. Like, what about work? But then I remembered I only work Monday through Thursday anyway, so I'm really on board for this.
Well, like the McLaren launch, it may make some of my work calls on a Friday be a little interesting if I'm trying to take notes on a sprint race. So, you know, that's an thing I hadn't necessarily considered until just now. So maybe that kind of sours me a little bit, but that neither here nor there. I mean, let's be honest, most of these things would be happening before work starts in this part of the country anyway. So I think I'd be able to see it. So, but I've been surprised, like you, James, that I saw just kind of this broad dissing of this whole idea on social media. And it just it did kind of take me back a little bit. But I think a lot of people are having kind of flashbacks to the last time we tweaked, or they tweaked with the qualifying format with that knockout thing, mm-hmm. where basically it all ended up with 4 minutes on the clock and nobody running any laps because they'd already run their laps and they couldn't refuel the cars fast enough. So why bother? That this is not. This is just it's another way to basically set the grid. Now, this proposal right now does have points being awarded to from the sprint races. I personally don't like that. I would rather that not come into it. But I see the carrot that they have to put out there of that, because if you're a back of the pack team, if you're a Williams or maybe even a Haas and you're still struggling at the beginning of this year, what's your motivation to go out in the sprint race if you're going to be at the back anyway? So why don't you do a lap and air quote retire your car and save mileage? Mm-hmm. So you almost have to have some sort of a carrot out there, whether that be points or whether that be prize money. I mean, if you really want to get the teams to do it, pay them. But I'm not opposed to trying. I'm not opposed, and I'm the oldest one on this podcast, so I can say this, you know, I'm not doing the get off my lawn thing with this. I want to see kind of how it works. Maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. If it doesn't, they're not going to continue to do it. I mean, it took two rounds of that knockout qualifying for everybody to go, okay, the first time wasn't a fluke. This really does suck. We're going to scrap it. Liberty isn't going to want to make a show that's not any good. That's not what they're about. So, you know, let's all just kind of take a step back, like you said, James. Let's see if what it looks like, and if it works, great. And if we end up with a mixed up grid, you know, that's what everyone seems to want.
Yep. Yeah, I think at the end of the day, we're at the end of the regulation set. It's just something new, different to watch. It does feel a bit contrived to me. I don't think, or I would be willing to bet that it's not going to be a long-term event that happens. But might as well. Mercedes is going to win, so why not spice it up a little bit?
At the end of the day, Mercedes wins everything. Yeah. So, but maybe not. You know, maybe you actually get some interesting results, and that's kind of all what we're looking for. And it does double the chance of rain in a sprint race even. So, you know, I gotta get my plug in for my crappy weather skills, because they ain't working this week, I gotta tell you.
Andy, maybe you could just start texting me every morning saying it's gonna snow today, because that way it'll never snow.
I may try that. Then you're going to be saying, God damn you, it snowed again. Will love you. That's what I've been doing wrong. I've been saying no snow for the last 10 days. That's the problem.
Yeah, see?
Well, that brings us to the end of our rundown. We thank everybody out there for tuning in and giving us part of your time. It's been super fun bringing it to you. Any final thoughts?
You know, I'm just excited. We're just a few weeks away from testing, and we'll get to see all these cars actually out on track. And right after that, the season will be starting, and that makes me very, very excited.
I'm right in the same boat. Just even hearing the McLaren out on track today for their filming day was just a nice breath of fresh air. The season's coming. I'm getting excited. So,
Yep. I mean, this is like, we used to have it when it was all in a week. I used to call it one of the best weeks is when, you know, the cars would be revealed and everybody's super excited for the new season. It's coming, you know, it's around the corner. I'm actually really pumped for the testing, believe it or not, because one, it's on a weekend, which means I actually get to watch it guilt-free. Yay. And two, you know, with only 3 days, everybody's got to be out and going through their programs a lot more. So there's not going to be a whole lot of downtime. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a fun weekend, that weekend. So we're going to continue to bring you guys and people out there stories as they pop up. It's been super fun. And as always, may all your laps be fast.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Outlap F1 podcast. If you like what you heard, click that subscribe button and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect with us outside of the show, check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Outlap F1 Podcast or email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. As always, thank you so much for your support and we'll see you on the next one.